Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So many of you have been following the news. You know how things have been going on for a long time, and this show has been, I guess, at the center of this as much as anyone has. We have talked a lot about five-star running back Zach Evans, and would Georgia get a second running back? Would Evans be that guy? On and on and on and on it has gone. However, we have also talked on our various platforms. I know we've done that here on this show and our Kroger signing day spotlight and everything else, but the fact that parallel to whatever may or may not be happening with Evans, and it is fair to say that almost all of that was speculation. Parallel to that, Georgia was also continuing its recruitment of another running back. And yesterday, the shoe dropped on that in a big way. As four-star prospect, Dejon Edwards from Colquitt County, Georgia, committed to UGA, giving the Dogs one of the top players here in the state of Georgia, a guy who's played in an elite program, as I said before, at Colquitt County, the Packers, one of the best teams in the state, that region, probably one of the best in the entire country. It is a high, high level of competition that Edwards been a part of there at UGA, and now he will be in the fold for the Dogs, Georgia winning this recruiting battle over Florida State. And one of the things that Jeff Sintel has told us, whether it be here on this show, Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, Before the Hedges, whatever else, is that kind of throughout this entire process, Del McGee, the Georgia running backs coach, has been keeping a lot of time with Edwards, staying in close contact with him, seemingly liking the things that Edwards does there on the football field. And even though shows like this kind of gravitate more towards, and by the way, if you're watching on video, you see a nice tweet from Del McGee also celebrating this as well for Georgia and Dejon Edwards. But even though shows like this, we make no apologies for this. You know, we're always going to kind of play the hits. We're always going to kind of fixate on some of the big names because that's what the majority of the audience wants to hear about. So even though, you know, we've been talking about Evans and following all those storylines and the twists and turns and everything else, concurrent to that, there's always been this relationship between Georgia and Edwards. And yesterday that came to fruition with Edwards committing to UGA, and he'll now sign on Wednesday. So with all of this, it becomes appropriate to ask, exactly what is Georgia getting in Dejon Edwards? And you can kind of look at the numbers on this. It's not hard to find his stats there for Colquitt County. It's not sort of hard to figure out where he's ranked. 24/7 Sports Composite, I think, has him as the number 21 running back, number 28 prospect in the state, you know, somewhere, whatever in terms of, you know, kind of a national ranking. You can find all those things, but I don't know when it comes to Dejon Edwards if the numbers themselves, his ranking, his stats, if the numbers themselves necessarily tell the full story. I think it's also important to get some eyewitness accounts of what it's like to watch him play. Now, we'll get some more of that from Jeff Sintel here coming up in a moment, but let me kind of lead with this. And if you're kind of just now learning about Dejon Edwards or trying to figure out how he fits into Georgia's plans, there was a quote from a Dog Nation story going back to 2018 that certainly got my attention now that Edwards is in the fold. And I thought this might be kind of a fun way to at least suggest what is possible for Edwards in a Georgia uniform. At the time, back in 18, Edwards was just a sophomore. And at the time, the Colquitt County coach was Rush Probst. Now, I know y'all know Probst from a lot of different things. And this is a guy who's had quite a laundry list of Google search stories kind of pop up next to his name. But no matter what else may have happened in Probst's life, that doesn't mean his eyesight's bad. That doesn't mean his ability to evaluate talent is bad. And at the time, he was asked about the running back in the mix for him there at Colquitt County, Dejon Edwards. And Rush Probst, having coached Nick Chubb a couple of years before that in an all-star game, gave kind of an interesting comparison between Edwards, the guy that's now committed to Georgia, and Nick Chubb, who obviously became a legend wearing the silver britches of the Georgia Bulldogs. This was from a Jeff Sintel story way back in 2018. I thought it might be fun to read this quote, though, as just kind of a way of acquainting you with what has been said about Dejon Edwards during his high school career. Here is Rush Probst on the subject of Edwards. He says, "I think that Edwards might be a little ahead of where Nick Chubb was at the point where I saw him in that all-star game." He had coached him, as I said before, in an all-star game. He says, "Now, I really love Chubb. I was so impressed with Nick. He would want every extra practice rep during the inside period of practice. Always finish downhill, every rep strong." Rush Probst says, "I loved Nick Chubb. He was always sneaking his way back into every drill." Boy, doesn't that sound like the Nick Chubb we came to know at UGA and the one we still see on display with the Cleveland Browns. But listen to this from Rush Probst, Dog Nation story from 2018. Probst says, I think Edwards can be that type of back, too. That's Rush Probst going back to 2018 in that same story. And when I post the show today to the worldfamousdognation.com, I'll make sure I put a link to Jeff's story from 2018 in that post, and we'll talk to Jeff about this coming up in just a moment. In that same story, Probst went on to say that he actually feels like that Edwards may have been the best back he ever coached. He'd been at Calkett County, had great success there. You know him from Hoover High School before that. So this is a guy that's coached at major programs, but he had some real fun things to say about Dejon Edwards, where Edwards ranked on the list of running backs he had coached his various programs and the guys that he had seen, including Nick Chubb in an All-Star game. Rush Probst, pretty high praise there. So that's at least a ceiling of what the possibility might be for Dejon Edwards in a Georgia uniform. But let me talk about something kind of slightly different for a moment. I want to play a piece of audio here, and this is from Jake Fromm yesterday. Now, it may be confusing. Why am I playing a Jake Fromm clip when I'm talking about Dejon Edwards? Hopefully when you hear the clip, that'll become a little bit more clear. Fromm was doing kind of a radio row tour in Miami, the site of the Super Bowl, working with a sponsor there and doing that. And when he sat down with the Will Cain Show, Will Cain's a host there on ESPN, the subject came up of kind of how he got to UGA. Now, I want you to listen very careful to this. I think that Fromm says something that's, I think, pretty important, especially when you think about a guy like Dejon Edwards. So listen to Fromm describing how it is that he ended up at UGA and see if you can also kind of take some meaning for a guy like Edwards right now. Here's Jake Fromm from the Will Cain Show.
I was committed to Alabama my junior year. Coach Smart, he gets the head coaching job at the University of Georgia. For me, being a home state kid, I always wanted to go there. He offered me a scholarship. I commit. Let's go do it. Let's go change the world and play 3 years, and now I'm here.
So listen, I don't think being from Georgia makes you play better while you're at UGA. I don't think that's the case. However, I will admit something. And around here, we try not to play too many favorites when it comes to the players themselves. We try to give them all their fair shake while they're at UGA and kind of give them the spotlight we think they deserve. But there is a little part of me that really does love hearing a guy like Jake say, hey, growing up in Warner Robins, I cheered for Georgia. There was nothing better for me than the chance to play for UGA, and now I get a chance to do just that. And it'd be fun to think that one day a guy like Dejon Edwards could say kind of somewhat similar to the same kind of thing. So admittedly, I will be rooting for Dejon Edwards, maybe just a little bit harder. And I say this admittedly as a Georgia fan, I'll be rooting for him maybe just a little bit harder because he's got the potential of telling that same story. I was in Moultrie. Moultrie's not too far from Tallahassee, but man, I was inside the borders of the state of Georgia. And there's no better honor for a good high school player in the state of Georgia than to get a chance to play for UGA. And now Dejon Edwards gets a chance to do that. And that's not to say anything about Zamir White from North Carolina or James Cook from Florida or Kenny McIntosh from Florida or Kendall Milton from California. Georgia's really lucky to have all those guys. But it is really fun. When we broke this story, not broke the story, but when we started talking about the story on video yesterday, when Edwards first committed, there was a lot of folks in the comment section of, hey, I went to Colquitt County. I'm from Southwest Georgia. I've seen this guy play. You guys are going to like him. You know, that sort of just authentic connection that some people have with him because he played his high school football here in the state. I can't tell you it makes him more likely to succeed at UGA because it probably doesn't. But does it make me a little happier for him when he does succeed? Maybe to a degree it does. I love hearing Jake Fromm say, as a Georgian, it was important for me to get a chance to play for UGA, and it'd be nice to think that Dejon Edwards would one day be able to say the same thing. Now, before we transition off this topic, let me also mention the name that I said to start all this when it comes to Zach Evans. I have no idea what this means for Georgian Evans. My assumption is that the likelihood of Evans being in this class has now been greatly, greatly reduced. Maybe it's not quite down to zero because with Zach Evans, maybe nothing ever goes down to zero. But it's certainly been greatly, greatly reduced, you would think, on the basis of Dejon Edwards now being in this UGA class. However, if it is true, or it does become true, that Evans is now destined to be somewhere else, my tune on him is not going to really change. Obviously, some off-field concerns have caused a lot of programs to think twice about Evans. But I'll tell you the same thing about Evans no matter where he ends up playing. Guys like this deserve a chance to be a part of football. And guys like this deserve the opportunity for football to do for them what it has done for so many people in the past. Kind of be that transformational force in their lives. I think guys like this are better off with football. Now, admittedly, as a fan, I don't want Evans to go to Florida, and I don't want Evans to go to Tennessee. I don't want him to be playing against Georgia for the next 3 to 4 years. That's not what I want. But do I want Evans playing football somewhere? I do. I haven't heard anything about him that makes me think he should be disqualified from that. At Georgia, I would have still given him a chance. You know what? If he wanted to come to Georgia now, I'd probably still take a flyer on him and still give him a chance. But one way or another, guys deserve to have a chance to let football work magic on them and turn them into more mature versions of themselves than when they first entered the program. So if this is truly the end for Georgia and Evans, I wish him well. I hope it's not orange that he's wearing when he's playing college football, but I certainly hope he gets the chance to play somewhere. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger, and we're glad to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Glad to have you with us. And speaking of our friends at Kroger, getting ready for the big game coming up on Sunday. And listen, when you got big parties going on, kind of like the last thing you want to do is be, you know, in the kitchen doing all the cooking and things like that. Well, Kroger will make sure that's not a problem for you. You can get those big game party trays. Listen to all the different choices you have. You got veggie trays, meat trays, the gourmet cookie trays. If I'm coming to your house, I'll give you the veggie tray. Let me have the meat tray. Let me have the gourmet cookie tray. And then we'll call that a Super Bowl party there at that point in time. No matter what your choice is, though, whichever direction you go, go to Kroger.com/order online. You can place your order today. Kroger.com/order online. And as I said before, you can place your order today. Now, speaking of the Super Bowl, in this same Will Cain interview, by the way, Jake Fromm actually gave a pretty detailed breakdown of the big game itself. So good stuff from Fromm on that. I'll put a link to the Will Cain interview in just a moment. We do all of that. We'll also get Jeff Sintel coming up in a couple of minutes. We'll talk more about Dejon Edwards with Jeff, and I guess we'll give Jeff a chance to sound off on, is this really the end? The final point time we'll discuss Zach Evans here in this program. We'll let Jeff weigh in on that. But before that, let's go around the doghouse. And we're not done with Jake Fromm yet either. As I said before, you should check out the full interview. I'll give you a link to do that. Pretty good breakdown from Fromm on the Super Bowl. He does call Georgia Florida the biggest rivalry in college football, so he kind of had us at hello with that. So it's kind of good stuff all the way around. Maybe the sponsor read at the end, maybe Fromm needs a little more work on. Now, listen, I say that as someone who kind of, you know, takes that kind of stuff very seriously, as many of you are aware of. Maybe a little bit better work on shouting at the sponsor at the end of the interview for Fromm, but as he goes through his professional career, he will kind of get used to that. But nonetheless, good stuff with Jake Fromm in Miami for the Will Cain show yesterday. One of the questions that the host asked him, he says, hey, listen, I had predicted that Georgia would win national championships and even become a dynasty. Cain asked Fromm, why hasn't that happened yet? And I thought that Fromm gave a pretty thoughtful answer on maybe Georgia just not quite getting over that hump as of yet. Here's Jake Fromm on that topic.
I wish somebody knew the answer to that question, because it would already be fixed and we would already be becoming the next dynasty. It's tough. I mean, you start getting those kind of questions. You know, I think if one person knew the formula of what makes a championship or a dynasty, that guy would be making a lot of money. I think, you know, for us, we gave it our best shot, and we came so close, you know, my freshman year playing the national championship. And then my next 2 years, I mean, we were just one win away from getting in, having the opportunity. Had great football teams both of those years. And, you know, football, it rolls your way sometimes. It doesn't. That's part of it, is what it is. I wouldn't change one thing from the past, and had the opportunity to play in a ton of big football games.
I think that's a classy answer from Fromm. I mean, it kind of stinks that he has to do the unfinished business talk, you know, here heading towards the start of his NFL career. That's obviously not what Georgia fans would have wanted. I think he also brings a pretty fair point. College football's just hard. And the reason why Georgia hasn't gotten over the hump yet is because this is not supposed to be easy. And there are, you know, 100-something programs that can't even imagine being where Georgia is. And I don't think there's anything defective about the Georgia program that kind of keeps it from, you know, getting over the hump, being an LSU, which Georgia had a chance to do this year, beating Alabama the couple of years before that. You know, this is a program right there on the cusp. It would have been great to see Jake Fromm be the one to kind of lead Georgia across that threshold. But the fact that that didn't happen with Fromm at the quarterback position doesn't lead me to believe that it's not going to happen. Patience is not a fun thing for sports fans, but I do still believe that eventually the UGA fans' patience will be rewarded. One more from Jake Fromm. Obviously, the thing that nationally he's probably the most known for is beating out Jacob Eason for a quarterback competition, then beating out Justin Fields the following year. That is Fromm's national reputation for the moment. And Will Cain on the Will Cain show yesterday as part of ESPN Radio also asked Fromm about that.
one time it was you, it was Jacob Eason, it was Justin Fields. What was that like? What was that competition like? Obviously, not only did you win that competition, you chased both those guys out of Georgia. What was that like?
It was a challenge. Challenge every single day. You know, both those guys are great football players and great guys, too. It's, you know, part of the challenge and part of competing, trying to come in every single day, work on your craft, get the best from your teammates, and go out and play football. Have fun while doing it. And I had the opportunity. I've been blessed to kind of be here, and I'm just super thankful.
So far, I'm not going to spike the football about, you know, earning that quarterback job over either one of those guys. Once again, kind of a classy answer for Fromm as he kind of starts his professional career. Weird to see him in a spot endorsing a sponsor and kind of being a pro here after being, gosh, it just seems like 5 minutes ago, we were, you know, the only thing we knew about Fromm was he once played in the Little League World Series, and all of a sudden now he's built quite a reputation for himself since then. So good stuff from the Will Cain Show yesterday. I'll put a link to the podcast version of that when I post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com a bit later on. For now, though, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Let's get ready to talk to Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Jeff Sintel. Busy weekend for him. Georgia hosts its final crop of visitors. Couple Georgia commits visiting elsewhere, and a four-star running back in the fold here as well. So let's talk about all of that with Jeff right now. And Jeff, I don't know if you had a chance to hear us off the top of the program. I reached deep in the archives to kind of preview what Georgia might be getting with Dejon Edwards, going back to a story you wrote about Edwards way back in 2018 when his then high school coach made a pretty favorable comparison between Edwards and Nick Chubb. That's always pretty good to get UGA fans excited. But beyond that, what can you tell us about Edwards and, in your belief, what it will be that Georgia fans will eventually like about him?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Good to be back on. I think it shows you, Brandon, how a lot of things have changed, man. That, you know, Rush Probst was the coach of Colquitt County way back then, and anytime he talks about football players, you want to lean in real close, 1980s E.F. Hutton style,
no doubt,
to really hear what he has to say. And I don't know, Brandon, when you were bringing up those thought bubbles there about Dejon Edwards, I kind of just want to. I want to say, like, you know, this is the running back that Georgia folks have been looking for, at least the Georgia staff has been looking for. Maybe in that sort of Obi-Wan Kenobi tone, these are the droids you're looking for. this is the running back that folks have been looking for because, yeah, there's Tank Bigsby in the state of Georgia, but Georgia has always recruited Dejon Edwards very hard. And it's the type that the staff at Colquitt were like, man, they really, really want him. And he gave him one of those down low, low-key in-home visits in December. And he's just a guy. I keep saying this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Georgia doesn't have a guy quite like him. I think what everybody wants, James Cook to immediately be in the passing game for Georgia, I think that's what Dejon Edwards is, regardless of 60 total touchdowns in the let's just call it the big boy britches part of Georgia high school football at its highest classification. I mean, he had double-digit touchdowns as a freshman for Colquitt County, and there's always the flirtation with this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy, but it always seemed that, you know, the question was, is if Georgia was all in on Dejon Edwards, then Dejon Edwards was going to be all in on Georgia. And I will also say, side note, Brandon, this might be the most reserved and quiet commitment that Georgia has had in quite some time.
Yeah, certainly about that. That's no doubt true. And you mentioned the level of play that he's played while being in high school. I've been to these games down in Region 1. This is as legit as it gets. There are 10,000 people in the stands for these games. They're college players on both sides of the ball for both teams every single time. So he has validated himself against a level of competition that does not need any kind of explanation whatsoever. And almost anyone watching or listening to us right now that pays any attention at all, they're very well aware of that. However, let me play devil's advocate for a moment just to make sure we're having the full breadth of this conversation. The one thing that you also see a lot of discussion about when it comes to Edwards on the message boards, including our own forum at forum.dognation.com, there's a lot of, hey, a lot to like about Edwards, and yet, you know, measurably, he's not very fast. You know, you made the comparison between James Cook, but at least to my knowledge, Cook is way, way faster than Edwards when it comes to straight line speed and things like that. So is the slow 40 time a concern for you when it comes to Edwards?
Well, great question. First of all, Brandon, when I think of that, when you say, let me play devil's advocate, I always picture you in a mullet and jean shorts. Does that make sense when you say
around here, that's our definition of the devil. So, yes, yes, indeed. That would indeed work.
But, you know, speed is the thing everybody wonders about with Dejon Edwards and his time. There's one of those floating around where he went to an opening combine. I think his last opening time was he went to a combine, and I think he clocked 4.81 even. And that's one of those that goes, yowza. But that 4.22 short shuttle is one of those that falls in line a lot better. That's 0.2 seconds better than what Tank Bigsby did almost. And he's just a guy that – is this a football cliche? It sounds like one, but he just plays better in pads. He plays faster in pads. What we mean by that when we try to actually sound like we know what we're talking about is that when you put the pads on this guy, he retains his speed with putting all that gear on, and he's able to play at a comfort level. I mean, I think folks, they might miss the fact that he caught 27 balls last year for Colquitt County as they kind of reopened him up in the offense as a passing game weapon. He runs the power really well. He runs between the tackles very well. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, everybody wonders, I think the magic number is 5. Georgia and Del McGee always want to have at least 5 running backs, at least 5 scholarship running backs, and they're stable at all times to take care of injuries and stuff like that. But, I mean, again, this is what I wrote about when he committed, Brandon. It's another decision that slants towards the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Currently in the 2020 class, it goes 13-9. There's 13 offensive side of the ball commitments for the University of Georgia. There's only 9 on the defensive side. I think that number will grow to at least 14 in the class as well as things keep going on. So, it just seems like all the pieces that Georgia needs or felt it needed on the football field in 2019 and beyond, they definitely look to be on the offensive side of the ball as Georgia's defense, as we've read about and talked about ad nauseum, should still be very, very stout in 2020.
Yeah, I think that's true. Let me do a couple quick things more on Edwards, and then I do want to obviously mention Zach Evans here for a moment. I also said this before you joined us, that because he's from Georgia, and Moultrie's actually a lot closer to Tallahassee than it is to Athens, but he's inside the state of Georgia. Because he's from Georgia, I don't believe that makes him more likely to succeed at UGA, but I do think for me personally, and I think there are a pocket of Georgia fans who probably feel the same way on this, that I will be happier for him when he does succeed. You know, I try not to play favorites on here. I try to treat all the Georgia players the same, give them all the spotlight they deserve. But there is a little something to be said for, you know, if it's Edwards that emerges as a big-time player at Georgia, a UGA running back from the state, maybe one day saying some of the kinds of things that Richard LeCount has said, Jake Fromm has said, other guys have said about the importance to them of getting a chance to play for their home state. I got to say, I will be a little happier for a guy like Edwards. He will be a little bit of a fan favorite for me because, you know, he chose to stay at home and Georgia chose to give him an opportunity to play for his state school. Do you kind of understand where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah, you like that home cooking, Brandon.
I do.
I mean, yeah, and it's difficult because the guy that, listen, the Georgia staff is just going to go bring in the best players they can, the best
and they
possible
should.
Available players.
And they should.
If that's in Anchorage, Alaska, or if that's in Athens Academy or Prince Avenue Christian, it doesn't matter. He's the best player. They're going to load up. They're going to get in the yellow helicopter, which is safer when you're flying around in air traffic and air collisions. Everybody always asks that question about the yellow helicopter. I think that's just better traveling through the air when you've got a more visible yellow color. But
sure.
staying on topic with Edwards and everything else, I mean, Brandon, you've got a guy that I feel when those guys go home or when that family comes around, if you lose to a Georgia Tech, a Florida, an Auburn, a Tennessee, there's some eyes rolling in that household when you come back home for the first time, or there's some scratching at the back of the head going, what happened? Because they know that's not supposed to happen. They know that Georgia fans, you know, kind of live and die in the circle with these games on Saturday. So there's a little bit more. You know, everybody, when you come home, has got a Georgia hat on. They've got a Georgia license plate on their vehicles. So it does mean a little bit more to use that SEC vernacular. But here's the thing. If you want to invest in some of your fandom salary cap into Dejon Edwards, here's the thing you should really like about it. Number one is there's an in-home visit this week with Dejon Edwards that kind of, you know, locks things down. But the second thing you should like about it is, Brandon, he's done. He doesn't even go take that one more official visit that he had on the till to go check out Florida State this weekend. That's, I think another level of the decision here this week that kind of will definitely go a long way with Georgia fans. It's just simply he was ready to go, and he didn't need to take that other extra official visit to cloud his mind up at all.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. The other thing is, by getting Edwards, Georgia goes into that number one ranking according to the 24/7 Sports composite. And, Jeff, I think that even if it doesn't last until the end of the cycle, I do think there's a poignance to this, because if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that there is the perception that the Georgia brand has kind of been diminished a bit by not getting over the hump in 2019, losing the SEC championship game again, not a very attractive-looking offense. A lot of guys left the program. I think there was a thought of, well, is Georgia football as big as it was? Is the national perception of Georgia football as big as it was this time 1 year ago? Some people may have told you no. And yet, after all it's been through, to still be number one in recruiting, I think does speak to me that Georgia brand is still plenty big, and championship windows remain fully open, and everything that UGA fans have been dreaming about, they still have every right to continue to dream about that. From that standpoint, the number one recruiting ranking for now does mean something to me.
Yeah, and you know, Brendan, I don't know how you and maybe the majority of our listeners here and viewers feel about this, but it seems like Georgia fans, does it seem like Georgia fans enjoy recruiting season more than they do football season? Because there are very few second and 26s in recruiting season. There's very few, flat LSU game performances on the road in recruiting season. That's what Georgia does very well. That's the forte of the program. And I think, you know, the way Georgia recruits, everybody knows that's the lifeblood of all these teams. That's the lifeblood of all these programs. And I see what you're getting at with that point where everybody thought with the Andrew Thomas teams and the offensive switches and Sam Pittman moving on, there was a legitimate, I guess, interest in wondering, okay, is this as big as the Georgia balloon is going to get with Kirby Smart? Is this the apex of things? Well, you see what they're doing in the transfer portal. You see what they're doing with the new hires, hiring lots of former head coaches and staff. And it really seems like Georgia's just trying to find that new gear for the program, kind of like what Nick Saban had to do 5 or 6 years ago when they reinvented Alabama football. It seems like Georgia, when the players they're bringing in, and I'll say this simply and I'll say this very quickly, Georgia has more freak, oh my gosh, this guy is unique, rare, and special players in this class. I think the number for me goes to 8 or 9 than they've ever signed in the Kirby Smart era in terms of guys that are different, guys that are first-round grade, guys that just bring something to the table that goes beyond the normal elite prospect that Georgia brings in. It's the case can be made with players coming in left and right and the type of quality young men that are in this class. It really feels like Georgia is going to find another gear here in the Kirby Smart era.
Well, speaking of oh my gosh special, that's a good way to describe what's happening at your local Marlowe's Tavern right now. You should check out the one in your neighborhood, because a little birdie has told me, I've made aware, there are some brand new menu items on the way. Chef-inspired food, the thing that makes Marlowe's Tavern famous, the special care they take for every single dish that gets served to you, all the ingredients sort of specially selected to make it taste the perfect way. Marlowe's Tavern get ready to roll out a whole bunch of stuff for the season to come. And they do the same thing with their cocktails as well. It's really one of my favorite things. Just sit there at the bar, watch the bartenders do their thing. Just really, really creative, their use of ingredients, and just a great time for a date night. You know, we got Valentine's Day coming up. Lots of great opportunities for you to check out the tavern right there in your neighborhood for really an unforgettable night or a lunch or whatever else. We're huge fans of Marlowe's Tavern here, and when you check it out, you will feel very much the same way. All right, Jeff, let me now transition to the other running back here, and that is Zachary Evans. You know, we've always kind of considered that Evans might be a guy that Georgia, if it were to take him, would be taking a flyer on him because there are some off-field concerns. That's been well chronicled right now. I'm going to tell you this, that the presence of Edwards wouldn't stop me from still taking that flyer on Evans if he was academically eligible and available to do that. This may very well end the pursuit for Georgia in Evans, and if it does, I kind of understand why. I'm saying for me, it probably wouldn't. If I could still get Evans, I probably still would. Do you think this completely closes the door on UGA and Evans?
So, Brandon, you're asking me in your patented signature style, you're asking me if this is the toe tag moment for Zachary Evans?
Is this the last time we will talk about that young man in this section on our show? Yes.
No, Brandon, it won't, because you're going to talk about him if he ends up at Ole Miss, if he ends up in Tennessee, if he ends up at LSU. That's going to be a segment of your show, the content fairy that keeps on giving. I just think this is a good decision for all parties. I think I would be surprised if Georgia takes that flyer and adds a scholarship for Zachary Evans to this class, considering what they just added to the program in Dejon Edwards. I think, you know, as everybody saw on the site last night, I put up a pretty in-depth piece there about Will Shipley and the type of young man that Will Shipley is. I think Will Shipley is the type of running back that a program wins championships with, that also represents the program with nothing but pure class on and off the field. I think if Georgia went even deeper in the paint with another running back flyer, as you put it, I think that muddies the waters with Georgia being able to bring in two running backs like a Will Shipley, like a Lavoisier Carroll, like a Cody Brown, like an Evan Pryor in the 2021 cycle. I think this is one of those Thanksgiving type decisions where everybody decides, I need to push away from the table after two heaping plates of what Grandma's house had to offer. I think Georgia at running back certainly seems pretty well full and filled up in terms of the needs for the 2020 cycle. And if Georgia was to go and add another scholarship like Zachary Evans, I think that would definitely be, you know, chasing in the best player available spot, the BPA spot available. But I don't know if Georgia needs a running back anymore comparatively to other names on the board.
So it's also a big weekend, at least in terms of the curiosity. Broderick Jones expected to visit Auburn. Cedric Von Prongranger, I believe, still expected to visit Florida. You've had really good stories about both these guys in recent days at DogNation.com. I guess just give me a little bit of a preview of the weekend to come for both those guys and what you expect to kind of happen in the aftermath of those visits.
Yeah, so you should expect to see coaches at the Lithonia High basketball game tonight. It's even senior night there for Broderick Jones, who averages usually about, you know, 7 or 8 points and about maybe 8 to 10 rebounds per game. And, you know, the Auburn visit, and I know everybody's going to go ahead and conjure up the phrase Pat Dye's cabin with some sort of background sound effect to go along with that. They're going to get the last official visit. Cedric Von Prongranger is going to give an official visit to Florida. I still feel to varying degrees that those guys should be seen as very solid commitments to the University of Georgia. I know there's a lot of folks out there that realize they got one more recruiting weekend to go in the cycle, and there's some intrigue and some drama that they can put in with a prediction here and a prediction there. It's just part of the industry right now, especially when a five-star prospect is visiting late. But as we keep saying a lot, Brandon, the closing kick to the class, there's no way Georgia winds up where it is and where it can be unless they add Jones and Von Prongranger to the fold. I think the thing to watch here with your news cycle here, though, with Georgia being the number one class and trumpeting that might be maybe a week-to-week thing, because Alabama, if they're able to add a McKinley Jackson, so to speak, well, then they will go above Georgia with what Georgia can do, even if they add like two or three other three-star prospects as well. So it would be interesting, though, because Alabama's not going to be able to sign all those young men, or those young men might not be part of the class in the months to come as they kind of sort out whether that's a gray shirt, whether that's a blue shirt, whether that's a flip, or whether even the junior college ranks become a possibility. So I think that's something to watch there, even though I think, don't they definitively try to hand out the title belt for the nation's number one recruiting class on the day of or the day after National Signing Day in February?
Certainly that'll still be something worth watching. You can give me 10 seconds on this, because this doesn't really impact Georgia one way or another. Is McKinley Jackson, is it LSU, Alabama? Is that what he's down to at this point in time?
Seems like those are the schools, LSU, Alabama. I think Ole Miss has some rooting interest in there as well. But, I mean, get this, man, another elite defensive lineman considering LSU or Alabama.
Yeah,
Don't they know they need to get a little bit more high-profile edge rushers with all that air raid that's coming into the SEC West right now?
Maybe that's the case. Hey, we'll finish with this. Georgia also set to host some visitors as well. You know, you've talked a good bit recently about, you know, guys like Ladd McConkie and DJ Lundy, who I believe may be going elsewhere this weekend. Just kind of a thought on how Georgia will spend its final weekend before signing day on Wednesday.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, Ladd McConkie is a guy that's the for sure official visitor. If I had to bet, I would say Marcus Henderson does not show up in Athens this weekend as a DPA candidate.
That's the Memphis offensive lineman, right?
Yeah, he's rated as a tackle. He's an Under Armour All-American, but I think he's a guard. It seems like Sam Pittman is on the case there for Arkansas, trying to win that recruitment over. And wow, that's the type of guy that Sam Pittman definitely needs for the offensive line of his Razorbacks going forward. You know, for me, and you're going to have another junior coming in. Micah Morris is in for the 2021 class coming in as well. I think maybe more in the preferred walk-on category might show up as well. But, man, if you've been watching the interwebs and the online chatter, I think Kirby Smart tried to set a Guinness Book of World Records for the number of 2021 prospects he could visit in a day and in a week. I think that MX bill is going to look pretty stiff for those, hourly or daily rental charges for that helicopter with him getting around. It seems like every school in the metro area and a lot of schools across the country got a visit from Kirby Smart this week.
Yeah, did I hear he hit nine in one day? I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff, but did I hear he hit nine in one day at one point?
I think it even got to 10 with everything he did. And obviously you can do that with a puddle jumper around the Atlanta area. But I tell you what, Georgia's in an enviable position. You want to talk about, Bergdorf or Tiffany's type problems with the Georgia recruiting efforts. When Kirby Smart is spending this much time on 2021s and 2022s, that means he feels awfully good about the way that 2020 class looks right now, heading into the final weekend of the cycle, when everybody can toe tag all these recruitments, as my friend Brandon Adams likes to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really true and really well said. Jeff, we'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at the forum here this weekend, forum.dognation.com. Also on the side at dognation.com as Georgia puts the final touches on its 2020 class. Good coverage all the way through, Jeff, and let's finish strong here as we head towards Wednesday.
Hey, everybody, go check out that Will Shipley story we posted last night. That's one of those that we cracked our knuckles and we tried to give you a really good read on a running back from North Carolina. And you know how those things usually go with North Carolina five-star running backs in the University of Georgia.
Yeah, that is a very good story. I'll invite folks to check that out too, Jeff. Thanks for going and getting us started and getting us up to date on those running backs. Really fun stuff, really good stuff. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, Shipley, as Jeff mentioned there, is a really interesting name, running back for the class of 2021. Seems like Clemson's kind of already a presence there. Georgia kind of in a battle maybe already for a running back who's got kind of an interesting profile. So good stuff from Jeff up there with Will Shipley at DogNation.com. I hope you will check that out. For now, though, let's go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And some of you have been on a Royal Caribbean cruise before. You kind of know what it's all about. Some of you haven't experienced one before. Let me kind of give you a little bit of a tip about what you will experience when you kind of go through this for the very first time. It's what's happening on the ship. Dazzling entertainment, full-scale productions. This is every night on every cruise on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. It's the only cruise line offering Tony Award-winning Broadway musicals, ice skating shows, dive shows, performance drones, original productions. You got like Hairspray, Grease, Mamma Mia, Cats. Those are the Broadway shows. The Aqua Theater shows on those Oasis-class ships. So just amazing stuff. Bars, nightclubs, the restaurant scene. I mean, this is like, it's like a full like city on the inside of these ships. It's one of the things that makes a Royal Caribbean cruise so much fun. So you really should contact your own travel advisor or reach out to my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority, 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. It is definitely not too early to start thinking about vacations coming up for the spring, heading in towards the summer. Really, right now is a great time to go. Beautiful time to be in the Caribbean or the various ports in which Royal Caribbean sails. This is a wonderful, wonderful time to get there. So reach out today. Let the folks at the Cruise and Vacation Authority know, though, that you heard about them right here on Dog Nation Daily, 800-326-4971. And you can do just that. All right, a couple of SEC through stories as we're cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Jeff mentioned that there, going to be some national chatter about the possibility that Broderick Jones will flip away from UGA. I did see that. I'm not all that familiar with this writer, but it did get some attention. Josh Helmholt, I believe his name is. He works for Arrivals.com. He, I guess, has flat out predicted that he thinks that Jones will go Auburn over Georgia. My understanding, though, is this is not a Southern-based rider necessarily. The truth is, I really don't know a ton about this guy one way or another, but that is at least someone willing to go on the record and say, I see the flip coming. Jeff has been very confident about this, though. Jeff has not really wavered from the idea that he thinks that Jones is UGA bound. My only thought on this is, as long as the door is open, as long as the recruitment is still ongoing, I guess I'm the kind of person that sort of leaves open that sliver of possibility that something else happens. I said that about the two South Carolina commits, Alex Huntley and Jordan Birch. I'll say that about the two Georgia commits, Broderick Jones and Cedric Von Prime Granger. Ultimately, when it's all said and done, Huntley and Birch may still be at South Carolina's class, and Jones and SVP may still be a part of Georgia's class. But as long as that recruitment's open, there's at least still some chance that happens. And I'm going to be consistent on both sides on that. However, certainly the stories that Jeff wrote with both these offensive linemen, Van Praan and Jones, give you kind of a good feeling if you're a UGA fan about how UGA is going to close all of this out, especially when given the fact that it seems like the relationship that Jones has had with Auburn is a little bit of an unusual one. Most people will tell you that J.B. Grimes' departure may have helped Auburn more so than hurt. Jeff Sintel's been really clear about that. It's Larry Porter that Jones has been the closest with there at Auburn. So in terms of his relationships and kind of how he feels about coaches, it's a very difficult thing to predict. Ultimately, I think they're probably both still UGA bound, but there will be some national folks that try to stir this up between now and the end, and that's an example of that. I mentioned before that former Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, and boy, doesn't that sound weird to say, but former Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm was in Miami for the Super Bowl this week, as was former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And there was one particular headline that got my attention. This is from the Detroit Free Press. I guess Sean Windsor's the columnist here. Here's the headline, which I think is going to set up a really fascinating draft conversation around Tagovailoa. Windsor says, and in the Detroit Free Press, Detroit Lions can't afford to watch Tua Tagovailoa become a star somewhere else. There's going to be a lot of this kind of chatter around Tagovailoa, that some teams can make the case that they still have a starting quarterback. They don't need to make a move for a new one right now. Plus, Tua has been banged up and injured anyway. And yet there's still that thought of, but what if he becomes the Tagovailoa that someone like Trent Dilfer says that he's destined to be, best quarterback prospect he's ever seen? I think the draft conversation around Tagovailoa is fascinating. I do think it's fair to criticize him a bit for the fact that he couldn't stay healthy in 2018, couldn't stay healthy in 2019. I think that's a fair criticism for Tagovailoa. And yet I think in the draft process, people are going to be reminded of all the things they like about him there as well. And ultimately, no matter how much you hear, certain forms of slander in the media about why Tagovailoa should fall in the draft, eventually someone's going to probably draft him really, really high. And then after that, we will see if he can stay healthy enough to be an effective quarterback in the NFL. But this is really kind of a fascinating story. And I guess for now we'll make that cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And in just a moment, I'm going to do the Kroger kickoff, and we'll talk about all the big things happening around UGA Athletics this weekend. Let me deal with this, though, for a moment, because this is just kind of a weird story. Zachary Hansen reporting this for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Let me read a little bit of this to you. So four Oxford College of Emory University students were arrested this month after they allegedly vandalized turf inside the University of Georgia football stadium before a November game. It gives the suspects names. It says they face counts of second-degree burglary and second-degree criminal damage to property. It says they intentionally damaged the field when they entered the stadium about 9:15 p.m. on November 20th without authorization. So basically they went in there, they damaged the field. I guess it was not that hard to fix because it happened in November, but what a weird story. Like, why would people from Emory be looking to damage UGA's field? You can read this story at AJC.com. Maybe I'll put a link to this when I post the show at DogNation.com a little later on. But apparently Emory trying to make its presence known here in the wars of colleges here, making a little bit of a shot there at Sanford Stadium. So kind of a weird deal here, but you can read more about that at AJC.com. With that said, let's do our Kroger kickoff. We always look to kick off the weekend at Kroger, and this is a great time to be kicking off that weekend at Kroger, because you can kind of get ready for the big game on Sunday. As I said before, the party tray is a great way to do that. And of course, as you're thinking about whatever weekend event you have going on, stocking up with food and beverage with our friends at Kroger. Also, Kroger likes to kind of get you ready for the upcoming weekend by telling you everything happening when it comes to UGA Athletics. So let's preview that right now. I said last week that one of the things I'm kind of guilty of from time to time is, there are certain sports I just don't know that much about, so sometimes those sports don't make their way into the Kroger Kickoff to lead off the weekend as much as they should. Today, though, we've done a pretty good job, I think, of getting everything covered. Obviously, men's basketball plays Texas A&M on Saturday. This is a Georgia basketball team in desperate need of some sort of good win. This is probably not going to be any kind of tournament team or anything like that. But Georgia fans have supported this team so well so years. Sold out. I have no idea what the crowd will look like on Saturday at Stegman Coliseum, but all the tickets are gone. You'd love to see that fan support rewarded by a win from UGA at home after not looking very good on the road again this past week against Missouri. You got Jim Dogs versus Auburn. That comes up on Sunday. Lady Dogs at Mississippi State. That is on Monday. Then a few of the other sports that we're not always quite so good at mentioning here. Track and field involved in the Razorback Invitational that goes on all weekend. You got women's tennis against Clemson on Saturday. Then look at this. Maybe a chance for revenge for UGA. Swimming and diving against Emory. Maybe a chance to go out and get a little revenge on the damage done to Sanford Stadium. Is that Jack Bowerly that the coach there, the swimming and diving? Maybe a little bulletin board material for the swimmers and divers against Emory this weekend. We can certainly hope that will be the case. We're also getting ready for obviously the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Would love to see a big game for Mecole Hardman. We kind of talked about yesterday what sort of the perception of Hardman kind of is going into this. I think a chance to kind of make a name for himself. He's obviously been kind of a fan favorite during the playoffs because he's shown up to Arrowhead Stadium kind of wearing the outfits and getting some attention like Will Smith and, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and some fun stuff like that. I do think the Chiefs are going to win the game for what it's worth. I know Jake Fromm in that Will Cain interview a little earlier made a strong case for the San Francisco 49ers, but that should be fun here this weekend as well as another Georgia Bulldog looks to have some great success on the biggest stage of them all in the Super Bowl. So whatever you're doing for the big game here this weekend, hope you enjoy that. And with all that said, we'll get ready to wrap up the program for today. And we shall do so in style by reminding you that it has been a long time since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. Let's do our Gator Hater Updater and tell you that it has now been 1,189 days. That's how long it's been since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We love doing that, and I played you a little audio from the Jake Fromm interview earlier on the Will Cain Show. It was fun to hear him say. So Cain asked him, and like I said before, I'll put a link to the podcast. You can hear the whole thing. The ESPN host asked him, hey, what are the biggest rivalries in college football? Here's the order in which Fromm gave them. Georgia-Florida, number one. He gave Georgia-Auburn, number two. And then he gave Auburn-Alabama as number three. So certainly a man after our own heart is Jake Fromm on that. Y'all enjoy the Super Bowl, whichever UGA sporting event you're interested in this weekend. Hope you enjoy that as well. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.